Pope Benedict met on Thursday with members of the General Congregation of the Jesuits, which has been meeting here in Rome for the past 6 weeks. Greeting the new head of the order, Father Adolfo Nicolas, and his assistants, the Pope urged the Jesuits to rediscover that missionary zeal which has borne such extraordinary fruits for the Church over the past 4.5 centuries. My colleague Emma McCarthy reports on what the Pope had to say.
La Chiesa ha bisogno di voi.
Pope Benedict XVI told the Jesuit priests gathered before him Thursday, the Church needs you, it counts on you, and continues to trust in you to reach those physical and spiritual places where others fail to or have difficulty in reaching.
I temi oggi continuamente discussi e messi in questione.
The Holy Father said that on the one hand there is a world that is a theatre where the battle between good and evil is waged, an evil that hides behind the individualism of ideas which relativize the sacred, an evil that is propagated through a confusion of messages which make it increasingly difficult to hear Christ's message, an evil which lies within those situations of injustice and conflict of which the poorest are the victims. On the other hand, he said, there is a religious order which in the course of its 500-year history has been capable of challenging cultural and historical adversities to bring the true gospel to all corners of the world. Today, noted the Pope, the obstacles challenging those who announce the gospel are no longer seas and vast distances. Rather, they are the boundaries of a superficial vision of God and of man, which places obstacles in the way of faith and human knowledge, faith and science, faith and the commitment to justice. Faced with these boundaries, continued Pope Benedict, Jesuits must be witnesses and help create the understanding that there is instead true harmony between faith and reason, a harmony that must be translated into the defence of those central issues which today are increasingly under attack from secular culture, in short, marriage and the family, sexual morality, and the question of mankind's salvation in Christ. Here the Pope invited the Jesuits to renewed reflection on the meaning of their characteristic fourth vow of obedience to St. Peter's successor, which he said does not only imply readiness to be sent out on missions to far-off lands, but also, in true Ignatian spirit, to feel themselves with the Church and in the Church, to love and serve Christ's vicar as precious and irreplaceable collaborators at the service of the universal Church.
And my thanks there to Emma McCarthy for that report on Pope Benedict's meeting with the Jesuits on Thursday morning. Altogether, 225 delegates have been attending this 35th General Congregation of the Jesuits, which began on January the 7th with the primary task of electing a new head of the order. Father Adolfo Nicolas was chosen on January 19th as the best man suited to lead the Society of Jesus, following the 25-year service of outgoing Superior General Father Peter Hans Kolvenbach.
As you probably know, generals of the Society of Jesus are appointed for life. It's only where there are grave reasons that a general may offer his resignation. And Father Kolvenbach did this with the approval of the Holy Father after nearly 25 years as general.
Though there is little information available about the contents of these meetings, the former head of the British province of Jesuits, Father David Smolira, spoke with journalists earlier this month to share his experience of the election process and the ensuing phase of defining issues that will shape the order over the coming years.
I think it's probably worth just sharing with you a few of my own reflections of my experience of the election process, because it was really, I tried to think of the best word to describe it, but it was really awe-inspiring for me. When we gather together to begin those 4 days, there are no formal candidates at the beginning of the process, and there's no campaigning that takes place. In fact, we're specifically forbidden from any sort of ambitioning to become general. So there's an atmosphere which is a very much of a collaborative atmosphere. And as we talked and reflected and prayed together, names gradually begin to surface, begin to emerge. And then, very much under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the members of the General Congregation gradually come to the point where they're ready to make their votes at the election. Father Nicholas was elected on the second ballot, and then after that election the Holy Father was informed, and then the results of the election announced. Once the election process was over, the General Congregation moved into the next phase, where it considers matters of importance for Jesuit life and for our mission. Much of the initial work that we do in this phase of the congregation is being done in small groups that are then reported back to the aula where we are all gathered together. The main themes that we have looked at first have been four. They've been on Jesuit identity and mission. So looking at what it means to be a Jesuit today and reading the signs of the times in the world and saying, what is it that the Society of Jesus should be doing? The second area is on obedience, to look at how we live out our vow of obedience in today's world with all the challenges that we face in that regard, and also particularly how we live out our special vow of obedience to the Holy Father. Thirdly, we're looking at government structures. That's the governance structures within the society. In the globalized world in which we live now, it's very important the society acts in a coordinated way. And some of the structures that we have perhaps don't facilitate that in the best way that we could. So we're looking at inter-provincial cooperation and how groups of provinces can cooperate more effectively together, and so how we can be most effective in the international work of the society in this globalized world. And then fourthly, we're looking at collaboration with others. So how do we best work with all of the range of partners in ministry that we have? How do we make decisions with them? How do we use them as a resource? How do we serve them best? How do we train them best? And how do we train Jesuits to work most effectively with others? So those are the four main areas that we've been talking about first of all, and it's quite likely that those four topics will lead towards decrees. At the end of a general congregation, we produce a number of decrees which are intended primarily for the society, for all of the Jesuits throughout the world, but also, obviously, these are often read by others as well. What we've now embarked upon, having got that process underway with those four topics, four main themes, are having a range of discussions on other topics of importance to the Society of Jesus. And these are, or at least some of them are, community life, how we Jesuits live together, formation and training, how we train Jesuits, vocations, how we attract people to join the society. So some of those are some of the concerns about sort of internal matters in the society. And then other matters of concern with regard to the apostolate, particularly migrants and the movement of people, youth, religious fundamentalism, and particularly the work of Africa, the work of the Jesuits in Africa and in China, to what are called apostolic preferences, priorities for the society in terms of our work. Two other topics that we also have looked at or will be looking at our globalization, which I've already mentioned, and then the whole area of ecology and the environment, the stewardship of creation.
In all of these important areas, Jesuits seek to follow the ideals laid down by their founder, St. Ignatius of Loyola, as they struggle with the challenges in the different countries where they live and work. Despite the rapidly changing societies and the new difficulties they face, Father David says the Jesuits are constantly called to bring their specific charism of responding to the signs of the times.
Well, I think one of the characteristics of the Society of Jesus throughout its history is to read the signs of the times, and that's a very important aspect of our charism, to be able to look around us and say, what does the world need, what does the church need from the society now? And I think one of the challenges that comes along with doing that is that if we're very sensitive, and I hope we are, to what we see and hear around us, that has an impact on us. It's a dialogical process. And so we need to re-understand ourselves and who we are in every age, at every time, so that we can authentically live out our charism, but to do it very much in the world of today. Some of the other traditions within the church, monastic traditions, for example, have a different way of doing that, that they have an established rule, which we don't have, and they live out that rule within the confines of their monastery. And in some ways, the expression of their life is within that context. We don't have monastery walls. Our arena is the world, and we're in a rapidly changing world. And I think you probably know from your own experience and the experience of your contemporaries that the world shapes who you are as well as you shaping the world. And so we have to attend to who we are as well as what we do in that world. And I think that is authentically following the Jesuit charism, the Jesuit tradition.
Today, the Society of Jesus numbers around 19,000 members worldwide, though the problem of new vocations, especially in Western countries, remains a crucial challenge for the Jesuits, as it does for most other religious congregations.
It's certainly true that vocations to the Society of Jesus, numbers of people joining, are in some areas of the world significantly reducing. It's also true that in some areas of the world they are significantly increasing, particularly in South and East Asia, but also in Africa. So there are large numbers of Jesuits, large numbers of people joining the Jesuits in some areas of the world. But I think what the congregation is doing at the moment in looking at the issue of vocations is precisely saying, well, what is it that we can do to attract people to join us? What is it we can do, not simply to attract them to join, but also how can we best form them, train them, to be available for the mission of the society in the future? It's if you look at Western Europe or the Western world in general, the idea of a lifetime commitment is quite a challenge for most young people, not just in the area of religious life, but in the area of marriage and in all sorts of other areas. So I think what we're trying to do is to look at the world, to look at the situation of contemporary culture in which young people find themselves, and say, how can we address those issues and attract people and then deal with their formation in the most effective way possible? I don't think we're coming up at this stage with any particular magical answers, but I think we're looking seriously at the questions and seeing how we can do it better.
Father David Smolira, their former head of the British province of Jesuits, addressing journalists during the 35th General Congregation of the Order, which is currently going on here in Rome.